This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Can you say the very first thing you would do if you got to the White House that was different from Joe Biden is you'd make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket.
You can't shoot dogs. What are you, a psycho?
That's a question that the president should be held accountable to.
You're saying he should be shot?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
My administration is working around the clock. Free remaining hostages, just as we have freed hostages already. And we'll not rest until we bring them all home.
Wilma, I promise you, whatever scum did this, not one man on this force will rest for 1 minute until he's behind bars. Now let's grab a bite to eat.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't.
Why'd you try to keep us from finding this out?
Well, it's hard to explain this, you know.
Racist.
That's it.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
It was another arduous day in the Karen Reed trial. They wrapped up around 1 o'clock. Whew. It's tough, this brutal schedule. But anyway, we have an update with Aidan Kearney, a.k.a. Turtle Boy. He's one of the blogger that's involved in this, and he's also been charged in the case for quote-unquote witness intimidation, more BS. And I heard there was this big news involving your media passes today, Turtle Boy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm officially a member of the media, Howie.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was finally approved. They gave me the runaround. I mean, I applied a couple weeks ago, and they can't deny me, so I thought their plan was to just ignore me. And, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease. We kept persisting, and we finally got it. So I'll be in line tomorrow, bright and early.
Well, you know, I mean, that's good news in the sense that you prevailed over district attorney. But on the other hand, you're not going to be able to, shout BS when you hear one of the guys on the Canton police force telling something that's not, doesn't appear to be true, you know?
Well, that's fine now. I mean, my work is done here. My activism is done. I'm just here to report on the case now. And, you know, it's different being in the courtroom. You know, you
can
see the reactions of people, you know, of jurors in particular. Like, are they paying attention? You know, how are they reacting to certain testimony? You can get a good read on people by looking at them.
Tweeting. You're going to start tweeting more? Because I assume they allow you to tweet.
That's the way to go. Right, you can't stream, so I'll just be tweeting up a storm in there, I'm sure. So make sure you follow it at Dr. Turtle Boy tomorrow.
Yeah, that was very interesting to me during the Whitey Bulger trial. I felt like Damon Runyon covering the Lindbergh kidnapping case. You know, it's back to the future with tweeting in the courtrooms. But anyway, okay, so let's talk about today. Well, first of all, I got a tip today. Brian Higgins, the ATF agent. You know, who has, he was there involved in it, and there's all sorts of weird stuff going on. And the defense attorney said that he had a proffer from the feds, meaning that they were negotiating with him. The U.S. Attorney's Office was negotiating with him to testify and to apparently flip him. Now, have you heard anything about, where did he used to work? Do you know?
Higgins?
Yeah.
I mean, he was an ATF agent.
But
before
did
that,
he?
You're saying?
Yeah, before that,
did he? I mean, he was a Cambridge firefighter. I want to say.
Yeah, he. Well, what I'm told, and again, you got to have to check this out. Someone said he's reapplied to the Cambridge Fire Department.
Yeah, a few people have sent me that. There's a person named Brian Higgins on the list. Unfortunately, I went to college with a guy named Brian Higgins. Believe it or not, like, so it's not the least common name ever. So there's no way to confirm that that's actually him. And I don't know. I feel like that's a long shot. Somebody engaged joining the fire department after this sort of controversy. I don't know.
Yeah, rejoining the fire. He'd be rejoining the fire department, though, right?
Rejoining.
Yeah.
Especially in the middle of this whole thing when his future's uncertain. It just seems like an odd thing that he would join the Cambridge Fire Department.
Okay. I just want to make sure that so we put it out there anyway. So tell us about you talked about this guy Michael Lank, who was testifying today, and he's the one who got into a fight in 2002 to protect one of the McAlberts in a barroom brawl. And I thought there was a lawsuit involved in this.
There was afterwards.
But did they mention the lawsuit today?
No, that didn't get mentioned. They just mentioned the criminal aspect of it, but they did sue them afterwards. I'm not sure how much they won, but they definitely sued them afterwards.
Do you think, we don't know what happens at these sidebar conferences. Do you think Auntie Bev told them not to bring up the lawsuit? Because I think the lawsuit's pretty damaging.
Knowing her reputation, I'm surprised they allowed any mention of it to begin with. You know, she's like the way she started off today. She said that, you know, you can't mention, like, if somebody like Lank has a relationship with one Albert, you can't assume he has it with another Albert. See, that doesn't count. So you can't bring that up. You have to prove direct Albert to Albert contact. You know, so even though it's like, you know, it's kind of common sense that if you have a good relationship with Kevin Albert, right, one can assume, right, that Kevin's going to ask you to protect his brother Brian. Right, I mean, it's just common sense. But if you can't prove the direct link between the cop and Brian Albert, then it's no bueno. So it just seems like she's going out of her way to make sure that relevant information that most people with common sense would say that seems like a conflict doesn't get admitted into evidence.
What about the firefighter Katie McLaughlin? I thought she said she was. You tweeted out about this again. It's now been over 24 hours since she said she was going to have a ruling on her obvious untruths that she said on the stand that she didn't know she didn't know the McAlbert daughter except as an acquaintance. She still hasn't said anything, right? The judge.
Nothing. She still hasn't said anything. She didn't bring it up today. You know, it was 4 hours of testimony of Good, Sergeant Good, and Lieutenant Link. And, in my opinion, it didn't go very well for them. I mean, it just established what we kind of already know. Like, they talked about, those are the two that went in the house. And neither of them thought to, like, ask to look around. And their whole excuse for not looking around was that, we didn't have probable cause. We didn't have probable cause. You don't decide probable cause. A judge decides a probable cause, or a magistrate, right? And you're telling me cops don't regularly apply, that's ever stopped an officer before for applying for a search warrant because
you don't have to go to court. I mean, it's just if you see a crime. I mean, there's a dead person, a dead cop lying outside. I mean, I think you have probable cause to snoop around a little bit, don't you?
He's missing a shoe, and he's got this broken cocktail glass all over the place. That seems like pretty good probable cause to me. You know, like, is there a matching cocktail glass in the house? Can we just take a look around real quick? Is there another shoe in here? Can we take a look around real quick? They both admitted that they just stood in the foyer, but because they've known the Albert since the beginning of time, Lank testified he's lived in Canton since he was five. Today, it's like, yeah, so of course, you just take them. They're buddies. They're pals. They're not going to, be like, hey, Brian, can we have a look around? No. The whole world is watching this joke of a police department in Canton just embarrass themselves with red Solo cups and Stop and Shop bags and all this stuff. And they're just asking themselves, like, weren't you guys, I've seen real murderers get away with crimes for less than this based on, chain of custody evidence not being appropriate or whatever. But in this case, it's like, they're not following anything. They're not doing anything right. And on top of the evidence that shows that, she probably didn't do this, it's looking like.
I mean, every day they just pile more and more reasonable doubt on, I mean, I don't know how much reasonable doubt you need to just throw it out. But where was the dog? Was it Lank who said he didn't see the dog? So, if you have a dog and you have a house and the dog's causing trouble, you put the dog in the basement. Right? The dog, Chloe, was most likely in the basement. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, that dog, if a dog sees sirens and people trespassing on the lawn and all these people walking all over the place, the dog's going to be yapping its head off.
Right?
They don't want you to see the dog because God knows what the dog has. Maybe the dog has blood on it. I don't know. Who knows? right? So bottom line is, like, that was their chance. Like, they could have, if Brian Albert was completely innocent and all these people were completely innocent, if I was the cops, you just tell them, hey, Brian, you know, we got to look around real quick.
How about when the chief who resigned shortly thereafter under rather sudden circumstances, Berkowitz, he goes, this happened on January 29th. He discovered a piece of the taillight on February the 4th. That's a week later.
Yeah,
almost a week later.
Just driving by, even though that's not like a cut-through street in Canton or anything like that. He was just driving by, and while driving by out of the corner of his eye, boom, he saw more taillight. And he tells his buddy Higgins about that, and it gets entered into evidence. He doesn't document it, take pictures of it, nothing. He just passes it in, and, you know, he's just on a whim, just on his own, just driving by there. Oh, look, more taillight. There it is. How about that?
Somebody wants to know, taillight piece on top of a frozen boot print look like evidence plant. Would it not be under the ice?
Yeah, I mean, today, I don't know if you saw this, a good original report in his original picture did not show any pieces of taillight. And then it turns out a supplemental report was added to his that shows the exact same area with a little piece of red taillight on it. And apparently, we don't know which cop added this supplemental report because it's just anonymous. I didn't even know there's a thing.
An anonymous report?
In a murder case. We don't know. It's like, is this real life? It's like I'm waiting for Ashton Kutcher to jump out at any moment and tell us we're being punked. How is this real?
Oh, you know, man.
So they're going to have, at the end there, things got a little spicy because they showed when the Canton, and of course the McAlberts are having a field day with this one. The Canton police cruiser pulls up, and this is kind of how they ended with a cliffhanger, and pulls into the driveway, and it shows the back of Karen's car, right? And it appears as if her right taillight is not red. Like, part of it is not red. And they're like, yeah. Oh, smoking gun. But if you look at her leaving One Meadows Ave 3 hours earlier at 5 o'clock, that part is missing to begin with. That one particular segment, right? Nobody doubts that the taillight was broken. She backs into John's car moments earlier. It's on video. That's presumably how it got broken. You know, there's no other video of it broken anywhere. 5 hours prior to that, she drove by the Canton Library, which had a perfect view of it, but oops, 2 minutes disappeared of that, yeah. So we don't know.
I hate it when this happens. There was what bad luck for her, those two nice pieces of surveillance video that could have cleared her once and for all or seemed to disappear. 508 says, what?
Or convict her.
Yeah. If it convicted her, I don't think they would have disappeared. That's just a hunch on my part. Yeah, Link said in 23 years as a cop, he doesn't recall how evidence tape is used. Is that right?
He's never heard of it. I mean, the things that they got him on today just made him look so foolish. And it's like, what kind of Mickey Mouse operation is going on here? There's no way the jury is listening to this. I mean, these are the good witnesses, too. Wait till they get to the Proctors and the McAlberts of the world and the medical examiner. I mean, they're going to have a field day with these people.
And he was asked, are these injuries consistent with being involved in a fight? And he said, it's possible. And I mean, doesn't that raise reasonable doubt to a little bit anyway with everything else?
It certainly does. The autopsy photos are reasonable doubt. You look at him, he's got bruises on his right, hand. It looks like he punched something, right? He's got two black eyes. He's got a gash in the back of his head. It appears as if this guy got in a serious fight and got hit in the back of that That would be what most people would opine looking at it. So at the very least, there's reasonable doubt because they still can't explain how any of those came from getting run into by Alexis in reverse that nobody saw happen at all. And nobody saw the body leave when they all left the house. I mean, it's remarkable.
All right, Turtle Boy, congratulations on getting in. I look forward to reading your tweets tomorrow. It's easier for me to follow it with tweets like that, but that's good. So anyway, is it a full day tomorrow or not?
It's a full day. I'll be staying most of the day. I got to get home, get my kids off the bus, but my first day, so I'm a little nervous. I'm going to pack a brown paper bag for lunch. I don't know.
I think you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just try to keep your eyes. Oh, I don't think you'll have a problem. Say, this isn't a boring case. All right. Where can people watch your stuff or see your stuff?
tbdailynews.com, Turtle Boy Live on YouTube, or at Dr. Turtle Boy on Twitter.
All right. Thank you, Aidan Kearney, a.k.a. Turtle Boy. We'll keep up with this case as it goes forward. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Tavolino at Patriot Place in Foxborough and in Westboro, where everyone can live well and eat well. For mouthwatering Italian food without the trip to Italy, go to Tavolino, where the locals go in Foxborough.
Howie Carr is back.
Raycon just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. Here it is. It's, you can't really tell much here, but except how good it looks, it sounds even better. Now you can get the features you know and love, but also active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity. Get 20% off plus free shipping at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is which law enforcement agency are you least likely to believe? Canton Police Department, Massachusetts State Police, or the FBI?
Canton Police Department.
15% say Canton, 12% say Massachusetts
State
Police.
It'll go up now that people have heard Turtle Boy. I don't know how many people vote after the show goes off the air, but, you know, in broadcast terms.
Probably won't catch the 73% that the FBI
No. I'm just thinking it might get up to 18, 19%. It's a pretty pitiful cast of characters, and they put the better ones on first, as we pointed out. 844-500-4242. George Washington University, they asked, the administration asked the cops to come in, the D.C. cops to come in and clear it out. But Mayor Bowser refused. So they're still there. Isn't that great? So this is what they were chanting at the George Washington University yesterday. Cut one. We'll have it here in a moment. Guillotine. They want to chop people's heads off. Isn't that what Hamas was doing on October the 7th? Or was it just the little babies? Was it any adults? I don't know. 844-500-4242. 508, what's surprising is with so many people involved, no one is flipped. Someone always flips, Howie, always. Well, if they do have a proffer into this ATF agent, Brian Higgins, and again, the defense, when they said that there's a proffer in, an agreement or an agreement being negotiated for him to testify in return for reduced charges or no prosecution, The prosecution did not object or say that's not correct. They let it go into the record that he has a federal proffer. And if he has a federal proffer, that means he has flipped or he's negotiating to flip. So that was the first in. I asked Turtle Boy when we had him on in the months ago. I said, how come nobody's flipped? I made the same point you just did, 508. And now it looks like, and Higgins is kind of out of the loop because he's not a McAlbert. He's not a made McAlbert anyway. He's an associate. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Last call. On Kelly's Roast Beef, we got about five left. The famous Boston Roast Beef flavor you know and love and now available in Florida with locations in Sarasota, Naples, and South Pasadena. by the time you go back to Florida, if you're out of Florida, you're a snowbird, by the time you get back in the fall, there'll be 6 locations open. There'll be 7 maybe by Christmas. They're moving down the west coast of Florida. While supplies last, you can purchase a $50 gift card. It's only good at the Kelly's Roast Beef Florida locations for just $25. Again, valid only at the Kelly's locations in Florida. Get yours now at HowieCarsShow.com and click on store. It's a great deal. 844-500-4242. 224,000 people listed on North Carolina voting rolls are missing ID numbers. Huh, what a shock. They're missing both the last 4 digits of their Social Security numbers and a driver's license identification numbers, according to public records obtained by the Federalist. God, they've got to clean these. They've got to clean this up. And, I mean, they're trying to, the North Carolina Election Integrity Team. That's what they say. We now have hundreds of thousands of ineligible, duplicate, deceased, and non-citizens citizen registrants bloating our voter lists. And if everything was on the level, it could get cleaned up, and the dead people and the illegal aliens wouldn't be voting. But that's not the way it works, is it? 844-500-4242. Someone should ask the students at GWU who their Robespierre is, 508. Yeah, I don't think you really want to be talking about guillotines if you've studied the history of the French Revolution. I know they kept the guillotine as the method of execution in France until the mid-20th century, but still, its most famous time was during the French Revolution, and it was not used to good. You don't want to be talking about it, especially in a revolutionary context. 844-500-4242. I want to play a couple of cuts. We'll take a call first, and then we'll play the cuts from the janitor at Columbia, Mario Torres. They did a great job, the Free Press, getting this guy to sit down, and he hasn't been back to work since he got in the brawl with this 40-year-old trust funded hippie, and that's exactly what he is. He lives in a $2.3 million mansion in hippest Brooklyn. And he's just inherited a ton of money, and it's just your typical pampered puke radical. And Mario Torres, the janitor, kicked his ass. It was a beautiful thing. But, you know, he's afraid to go back to work now. And the most ironic thing of all is he's afraid he's going to get fired. But I'll play the sound cuts after we take this call. Kevin, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
Great, great, great story with Turtle Boy and all that stuff. I mean, great reporting. And I hate to go back, change the subject, but
that's okay.
Before that, you were talking about the senators and stuff like that.
Yeah, and having dirt on all of them, or most of them.
It's just unbelievable, right?
And yeah.
How do they get so rich? I would love to see Trump come in and just executive order, audit everybody in the government. It's just crazy. Why
yeah.
are you going to take $65,000 and go after us? When look at what you're dealing with. Who's getting rich here?
Well, they're all getting rich. That's the whole point.
Exactly.
But I think it would be difficult for him to go after Congress. You know, they have the same problem in the legislature in Boston. You know, the auditor wants to open the books and look at the legislature, how they paid money, and they've spent millions on NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, just like the Congress has. Not as much, obviously, because it's not as big, but. You know, she has a problem, even though it's going to be on the ballot in November, because there are these questions of, separation of powers. You know, does the executive branch in any state or in the federal system have the right to go after the legislature and vice versa? And so, I mean, the best thing to do, Kevin, is to dismantle the deep state. You've got to dismantle the deep state. It's there are not 4 branches of government. There are 3 branches of government, and the deep state, as the conservative treehouse always points out, Sundance, has constituted itself under the so-called reforms, which weren't reforms, of the Patriot Act and, the post 9/11 era, as a 4th branch of government. And it's It's destroying the republic.
Killing it. It's absolutely killing it. And everybody knows it. And it's just sad that nobody can do anything about it. That's this. Yeah. Just sit back. You know, I'm a veteran from way back when. I'm over 65. And it's just like, I've had enough of it. It's just crazy. It's just sad, sad.
Yeah. And I said yesterday, I mean, this was another story that the conservative treehouse had. The DOJ and the FBI were going in and getting approval for surveillance, ex parte from the court, you know, secret surveillance of Republican staffers who were investigating the Russian collusion hoax. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the Republicans controlled every branch of government, and yet the Democrats had control of the Justice Department through the deep state, through the intelligence community, and were trying to take out all the people who were investigating them. And they got away with it. They got away with it.
From Hillary on down, they got
right.
away with everything.
Right. Hillary and the DNC and Mark Elias and all those people, they were fined $108,000. That's chump change to them for trying to fix the 2016 election. It's just unbelievable. And they've got Trump on trial for doing stuff after the 2016 election, which was legal, by the way. It was legal.
We just see it. Everybody sees it, and it's just so sad. And it's just, you know, a lot of proud Americans in this country, and we're all just getting stomped on.
Yeah.
And it's great that you guys open up your mouths and talk about it and put out the word and stuff like that. You get a lot of support, and we all, you know, for many years.
I appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for calling it. I wish more people paid attention to it. What's going on? I mean, it really is. It's going to destroy the republic, and it's been a great run. This was the most successful society in human history, and they're wrecking it. 844-500-4242. Okay, so I want to play these Mario Torres cuts. This is the guy you've seen the pictures of him duking it out with this 40-year-old, and he rips off. It was great that he ripped off his mask. Because now this 40-year-old millionaire hippie is charged with 5 felony counts by the New York City police. Cut 3, Mario Torres.
I was on the third floor. Initially, I thought it was about five or six students, and I was just trying to kick them out, you know, and I saw them grabbing furniture, and I'm like, you know, what are you doing? You know, no, you know, I don't think I can curse here, but I was upset because... You know, they were doing things they weren't supposed to. But when I look back, they just multiplied and multiplied. And I can see my coworker Lester on the other side of the third floor, you know, trying to kick people out. But we didn't think we thought that it was maybe 15 or 20 people. It wasn't like that, you know, and you can't possibly fight off, you know, 100 people.
Let me say, here's the encounter with the 40-year-old hippie that lives in the $2.3 million mansion in Brooklyn. Cut 5.
I'm hearing things, you know, this is bigger than you, a bunch of, you know, stuff. But when I turn around and I see all these people, and I try to make my way over to Lester's side. You know, he's a bigger dude than I am. But once I got there, I don't know which direction he went in. And then that's when I had the altercation with one of those guys, you know.
How did that start?
Well, shoving, kicking, shoving, you know, a lot of shoving. Yeah, you know, picture, you know, when you leave Yankee Stadium and everyone's trying to exit, right? There's a lot of people around. There's a lot of, you know, moving parts. And I just kept on trying to yell, like, you know, well, if A, get out. I was trying to protect the building. But now let me out and then don't touch me. Like, I was trying to say all those things, you know, at once.
I guess the top pay for a janitor at Columbia is $19 an hour, and he was trying to protect the building. He was trying to do the right thing, and this is what happens to him. All these pampered, puke, entitled trust funders are going after him and attacking him. Cut 6.
he had a Columbia hoodie on, and I managed to rip that hoodie off of him and expose his face. So as I tried to go downstairs, and they had already, there were so many chairs and tables, like, just thrown. They were throwing them, like, down the stairs to block it. And I remember jumping, like, trying to get down. I was hurling these tables and chairs. And when I realized that they put the vending machine to block the door, I'm like, oh, what the, you know. So I try to go back upstairs. Elevator was done already. They blocked that.
Good Lord. This guy is the janitor. He's obviously smarter than any of the nitwits, the Nazi hippies that he's dealing with here. So, you know what's going to happen next if, they're paging Jamal Bowman. Cut 7.
First they pulled the alarm because the alarm was ringing. And then they put tables and chairs to block it. Like, they stuffed that elevator with furniture. So it was done. So I couldn't go down. I basically managed to, you know, someone was able to calm me down and say, look, you know, I'm going to let you out. Just calm down. I was freaking out. At that point, I'm thinking about my family. How was I going to get out? Through the window? No.
This guy's trying to do his job, making short money. And this is how they're treating. 508 says, sounds like an insurrection. Yeah, it does sound like an insurrection, doesn't it? 844-500-4242. I got a couple more cuts to play on this, and we got some more stuff here. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
If you missed any part of the show, we've got you covered.
You know what, guys? This could be a podcast.
Subscribe to the Howie Carr Radio Network on your preferred podcast platform and start listening to previous shows and exclusive podcast-only features.
It's actually not a bad idea.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
844-500-4242. 978 says, January 6th, zero weapons found. It's an insurrection. College protest, multiple weapons. It's peaceful protest. Yeah. You know, 978, it just occurred to me as I was reading your text. Have you noticed the Democrats are talking less about January 6th? Lately? I think they are. I haven't heard Brandon mention it for a long time. Five cops were murdered on January 6th. Not really. Zero cops. 844-500-4242. So this is Mario Torres, the Columbia janitor, and he's talking about how these hippies, they were well organized, and here he sums it up. And I mean, this is an eyewitness account. I mean, you know, you've read about Soros and Pritzker and Gates and Rockefeller, all their big foundations, how they were paying money for these people, but now this is a guy who actually was on the front line here. Cut 8.
So that there was zip ties already, and there must have been, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 zip ties. And so they had to cut it out. They had to cut the zip ties. And the minute, like not even like the five, because I look back 5 seconds after, they were already tying the door down again. You know, I looked up. I remember looking up and I noticed that the cameras are covered. How did they get up there? That's not like 10 feet. You know, you can't give somebody a boot. Like, these guys were pros. They, you know, I'm sorry. You're not going to get 20 feet in the air to cover a camera. You know, how did he do that? I don't know. And how did they know they were there? You know, and the vending machines, how did they know they this was definitely planned.
Good Lord. at 508, who would have thought this, that the country could collapse in 3 to 4 years? This is an insurrection. Mario Torres continues. 9.
I thought they stormed into all the buildings, and it was until I got out that I realized that they targeted Hamilton. And I don't know the history either. I didn't know there was history with that building before. I had no idea. But if they
knew that, 68, he's mean, then is what he means.
The school knew that. And if the school knew that, then there should have been more protection. You know, we had one guard, you know, who left. That's why, like, I felt like we had to basically fend for ourselves. We had to play the part of public safety for ourselves and just protect ourselves because we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, see, you know, the pictures, you don't see many of them anymore, but there are a lot of famous pictures from 68. This is where they moved in, and they took over the president's office, and they're all, you know, they're smoking cigars in there, and they're, you know, just acting like jerks. And it was a big riot in 68. There was a famous book written, The Strawberry Statement, which actually holds up pretty well. And but he didn't know about this. I mean, most people didn't know about it. I'd forgotten all about it. But the hippies knew about it because this is their job. They're revolutionaries, and they're very well financed, obviously, with the people like the Soroses, the Rockefellers, the Gates, and the Pritzkers backing them up. Cut 4.
They came from, you know, both sides of the staircases. They came through the elevators, and they were just rushing. It was just like they had a plan. It's like we're, you know, it's not like, oh, let's just break into Hamilton and, you know, occupy the lobby. No, they came up to classrooms and started taking furniture. And like, you know, you see people with bags with duct tape and zip ties and all kinds of equipment, masks, gloves. And it was like, what the hell's going on?
Were these people being paid, or how much were they being paid? And what was their jobs before they were recruited for these riots? And when were these riots planned? I mean, is this all post October 7th insurrections and revolutions going on? Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow. And again, we have one or two Kelly's Roast Beefs left. If you want to go to HowieCarrShow.com, click on store. I'm Howie Carr.